Good day, and welcome to the Anik Up Q4 2021 financial results release conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Erik Ferret. Please go ahead.
Thank you. First of all, good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for taking the time to join us this afternoon. As usual, Justin, Ed, and I will take you through the presentation, and then we'll open the line to Q&A session at the end. Before we begin, can I please draw your attention to the disclaimer on page one of the presentation, and in particular, the comments regarding forward-looking statements. I'll now pass it to Justin for the Q4 highlights.
Thanks, Erik, and good afternoon, everyone. As anticipated in our trading update at the end of January, Q4 was another strong quarter, with collections up sharply year-on-year, returning to run rate levels seen pre-COVID. A total of 131.5 million euros in collections for 2021 was more than 50% higher than the prior year, resulting in 99.1 million euros of adjusted EBITDA. Capital-light revenue reached almost 4 million euros, with our captive asset solutions platform continuing to drive performance and increase servicing revenues from across Anik Credit's entire portfolio. Nevertheless, despite a growing platform now comprised of 25 FTEs spread across our core markets, aged low fixed costs and still predominantly variable cost base resulted in a collection cost ratio of just over 26%. ERC also resumed its growth trajectory, now standing at 531.1 million euros on the back of over 100 million in capital deployment in 2021 at an aggregate 1.9x gross money multiple. As increasingly attractive opportunities continue to emerge post-COVID, particularly in direct real estate, where we have been able to acquire attractive assets by providing solutions for stressed and highly motivated sellers. This trend is continuing early in 2022, with closed and signed deals already representing another 51 million euros of capital deployment, or over 50% of the budget set for the entirety of 2022. On the back of significant outperformance in 2021, leverage is also down sharply ahead of plan to 3.58x last 12 months adjusted EBITDA, and now within the company's long-term target range of 3.5x-4x. I'll now turn it back over to Erik to provide more detail on financial performance.
Turning on to page seven. The group had a strong financial performance for the quarter in the 12 months ending December 31st, which was in line with the trading update that we gave in February 2022. As Justin mentioned, the gross attributable collections for the year ended 2021 increased to 131.5 million euros, which was 51.8% higher than 2020 and close to 15% above our December 2020 collection forecast. Revenues were down to 62 million, which was 4.2% down on the previous year. As a result of our strong collections for the period and our relatively low fixed costs and mostly variable cost structure, EBITDA increased to 99.1 million for the full year, which was 86.4% above 2020. We had a strong year of deployment also, which was in line with our long-term annual deployment target and well above our ERC replenishment rate. The strong deployment was driven by our expansion in direct real estate, increasing portfolio diversification and predictability of collections. As a result, ERC increased to 531.1 million, which was 12.4% above the prior year, and net debt increased 7.4% to 354.8 million. Turning to page eight. The graphs on the right show you the quarterly collection performance, EBITDA and leverage. As you can see, a strong attributable collection performance of 57 million in Q4, which was 44% of our collection for the full year and in line with our pre-COVID normalized level of collection. EBITDA in Q4 was also strong with 44 million and leverage also at a very positive trend, finishing the year at 3.58x. As Justin mentioned, this was well below the guidance we gave in Q3 of below 4x for year-end 2021. As at the end of 2021, the LTV also came down to 67%. Our fixed charge coverage ratio was 5.3x, and our liquidity is very strong with 42 million of available liquidity as at March 22nd. This strong financial performance for the year was primarily driven by a focused operational delivery with collections and deployment coming back to pre-COVID levels and continued investment in our asset solutions platform, which has now 25 FTEs in five core geographies. Moving to page nine. On that page, we show you our 84-month ERC curve as at December 31st, 2021. We expect growing collection in the near term with the majority of our ERC to be collected in the next 3 years, which illustrates the strength of our back book. The predictability of our cash generation is underpinned by our mature and seasoned portfolio, with 62% of our 84-month ERC being derived from assets purchased prior to January 1st, 2020. The robustness of our cash generation is also supported by over 84% of our 84-month ERC being backed by collateral, real estate, or cash, with 129% collateral cover against this secured ERC. This growing collection, together with the growth of our capital-light income, which grew to $3.9 million in 2021, will generate steady cash flow and will allow us to continue to deliver and maintain strong liquidity position even after ERC replenishment. Turning to page 10, we show you the evolution of our market-leading total operating cost ratio, which was 26% as of December 31, 2021, down from 38% in 2020. This performance is driven by our low fixed cost and mostly variable cost structure and operational excellence driven by our flexible master servicing model tailored to geography and asset type. As the mix of our asset types continues to evolve with the reduction of our unsecured NPL and an increase in our secured NPL and direct real estate investments, we expect to see a continued improvement in our total operating cost ratio going forward. We will also benefit from further operating leverage as we gain more scale through further co-investment with other ANICAP credit funds. Now passing on to Ed to cover our asset management performance.
Thank you, Eric. So central to the performance over the last 12 months has been the AIF Asset Solutions platform. It operates at the core of ANICAP's credit business, generating capital-light income. And with 1.1 billion of assets now managed by AFE Asset Solutions, asset-light revenue in 2021 was 3.9 million euros, 86% up from the previous year. We expect a further growth of 400 million in AUM over the course of 2022, driven by a combination of 300 million of expected deployment from ANICAP's credit funds and 100 million deployment from AFE. Given the projected growth in the pipeline, we expect a 20% contribution from capital-light income to overall income in 2023. Turning to page 13, across our core markets, we have seen a steady return to normality over the second half of 2021, which has continued through the start of 2022. Courts are operating at pre-COVID capacity. Backlogs exist in certain court jurisdictions, but have been incorporated into our forecasts. And across our jurisdictions, our focus has been on driving intensive engagement with our servicing partners, proactively managing legal cases to mitigate any further timing delays, and placing tight controls on rental collection and property capex in our direct real estate portfolio. In addition, we continue to drive a program of asset management initiatives to drive outperformance, including targeted sub-portfolio sales and REO campaigns to take advantage of buoyant property markets across Southern Europe. In Poland and Romania, which represents 6% of our ERC, we have seen minimal impact from the events in Ukraine. And while some understandable slowdown has been observed in the eastern parts of Poland and the north and eastern parts of Romania, this has minimal impact on our book. Turning to page 14, in comparison to 2017, the portfolio is materially more diversified. Exposure to Italy has reduced from 64 to 29%. Overall exposure to Southern Europe has reduced from 93% to 61% as we have expanded into UK and France. We've retained our focus on secured assets, with increasing diversification into direct real estate, where we can access attractive assets without the variability associated with illegal timings. The book today is also highly seasoned, with 63% of our ERC coming from vintages with greater than 2 years seasoning, as compared to 43% in 2017, giving us a very high degree of confidence on the stabilized and granular underlying performance in the book. I'll now hand back to Justin to discuss the strategic outlook.
Thanks, Ed. Turning to slide 16. As mentioned at the outset, capital deployment increased in line with our long-term targets of 100 million euros in 2021 and another 100 million plus expected in 2022, the entirety of which represents co-investments alongside ANICAP's credit funds, enabling AIF to allocate capital across a much broader and diversified opportunity set than would be possible on its own. With over 500 million euros currently in our pipeline and 50% of the full year budget already closed or signed and expected to complete in 2022,
the business continues to cherry-pick the most attractive opportunities, targeting a gross money multiple in aggregate above 1.8 times. We remain highly selective in NPLs, focusing predominantly on secondary opportunities in core geographies such as Italy and Spain, as investors seek to accelerate returns following underperformance in timing, which was exacerbated by COVID. Although we anticipate NPL volumes to increase sharply again, we do not believe this will drive our remaining deployment in 2022 as we continue to see what we believe to be exceptional risk-adjusted returns in direct real estate opportunities as well as performing secured debt, both of which continue to enhance geographic diversification away from Southern Europe, notably in the UK, France, and Netherlands. Turning to slide 17, here we provide some additional color on the composition of our direct real estate portfolio, where we continue to target properties in top, more liquid locations, sourced off the run from predominantly stressed or highly motivated sellers, offering significant discounts to market value. Currently, this includes 15 assets across a blend of asset types in the UK, France, and Italy. This includes an already embedded, stable base of income with value add potential predominantly through modest capex and leasing activity on office and retail space, as well as the regular disposal of a granular base of individual residential properties. Also, following a similar approach to our secured NPL investments, where we work with a panel of local servicing partners tailored by geography and asset type, here too, we are working with specialized operating partners tailored to asset-specific requirements. We're typically co-investing in transactions alongside AIFE and ANICAP's credit funds. Drilling down a bit further on slide 18, here we show a specific sub-portfolio currently comprised of five affordable office properties in strong regional locations in the UK with an aggregate occupancy of 75% and almost a 10% aggregate net entry yield based on current contracted income. We've been able to achieve that by acquiring assets from motivated sellers in direct bilateral processes. As you can see here, our acquisition values are consistently at significant discounts to market value of almost 34% in aggregate, validated by certified third-party valuers. Clearly, the high level of current embedded income then serves to further rapidly de-risk such investments with significant upside from enhanced asset management, where motivated sellers have clearly lacked the willingness and or capital required to even complete basic, relatively basic capex required to lease up vacant space, increase income, and enable an onward sale at a price more in line with fair market value. I think at this point, we'll turn it over to questions.
If you'd like to ask a question at this time, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. And we can now take our first question from Frank Lehman of Tello Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good afternoon, and thank you very much for the presentation and the outstanding results. I recall that you tried to refinance the bond in the market and that the markets kind of did not open up in a way you might have perceived them to be open. What's the thinking about the bond? There's still some time before it matures, but are you prepared to enter the market anytime again if the window opens, or are you looking at alternative funding sources? That would be my first question. My second question, if I may, the direct real estate case study, I find that quite intriguing. Can you highlight a little bit how you source these deals, and how does it come that the UK has provide such opportunities, while the UK is, of course, known to be quite a liquid and well-financed market? This is not Romania, right? This is a market where there are a lot of banks and a lot of willingness to put money at risk. Still, it seems like you seem to have found I don't want to call it a niche, but you seem to have found a market where you can enter at a very, very attractive levels. Maybe you can comment on that, what the duration of that will be. Maybe it disappears soon again, et cetera, et cetera. Thank you very much.
Maybe I'll take the second one first, and Eric can touch on the market. So on the real estate side, I mean, we are looking for particular themes and particular niches, and we are, you know, trying to be specialized in that approach. So in the UK example specifically, the reason we've built a portfolio and we continue to build diversification is we did see a specific theme highlighted by the fact that we're targeting relatively small size transactions where the institutional market for individual transaction side is not nearly well developed. If they were larger individual properties with more stable income, there'd be a significantly stronger amount of competition. I'd say within that, and this again was exacerbated by COVID, we are particularly gravitating towards situation where, for example, when we say motivated seller, it may be an open-ended fund or a fund facing redemption pressure, or a position that may soon become an NPL. So we're specifically looking for points of stress in the system where we frankly normally travel from a secured NPL perspective. And we're also working closely with specialized operating partners on these individual themes. So the origination focus in this case is supported by a local operating partner that's playing a role in ongoing asset management, but working with us to filter a potentially much larger volume of targeted acquisitions to find those where we can get the most exceptional value. And I do think it really is a combination of those factors. I do think, to your point, this is not a particular theme that will last forever. I do think, as with other opportunities where we allocate capital, we are opportunistic and we have to be mindful always of playing the cycle. And I don't think the exceptional value we've seen, if it weren't for a number of these converging factors, would normally be available throughout the cycle.
On the refinancing side, obviously, as you all know, we were trying to assess the market in February. At the time, the market was not conducive for a transaction, which was mostly driven by uncertainties around central bank increase in interest rates as well as inflation expectation. So the primary market was pretty much shut down at the time, and I don't think there's been a high yield issuance since we pulled the deal from in February. Obviously, we continuously monitoring the market with our advisors. I see that there's some green shoots in the market now that maybe things might be improving, so we'll remain opportunistic. Obviously, our bonds are maturing in August 2024, so we have some time ahead of us. But having done the work, we can quickly come back to the market now that our financials are available. It's just a function of 2-3 weeks to update the information in the disclosure document, and we'll come back to the market. So I think we'll remain opportunistic, and we'll see how the market evolves. But obviously, there's a lot of uncertainty with the war now, so we'll monitor the market.
Thank you very much, gentlemen, and all the best of luck with the development of the company. It seems to go in the right direction. Thank you.
Thank you.
And once again, it is star one if you do wish to ask a question at this time. We have no further questions over the phones.
Should we give it another minute just in case?
Again, as a reminder, it is star one if you do wish to ask a question.
I mean, thanks, everybody. You can always send an email to the website, and we'll be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Apologies, we do now have a question on the phone from Stephen Zika of Iron Shield Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, yeah, thanks for taking my question. Just wondering if you can provide an update on your discussions with the RCF and if you're going to be trying for another extension or if you expect to pay that down or what the situation is currently.
Yeah, the expectation will be that as we monitor the market for the refinancing, we'll just extend the current RCF at its current size. And so the banks that were involved in the refinancing process are supportive to extend the RCF by probably a further 12 months. So we're in the process of documenting that in the next few weeks. As you remember, in the context of a refinancing, we'll probably look at downsizing the size of the RCF. To probably $625 million, but for the time being, we'll keep it at 90 with probably a 1-year extension as we go into the market.
Got it. Thank you.
And we have no further questions.
Okay. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
This concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.